Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
It is Wednesday, which means we get to speak to the wonderful Dr. Carl. Dr. Carl, good morning. Hope you are well.
I am indeed, and we've had daylight saving happen in Australia, and last week I was on a ship to New Zealand in a cyclone, so I'm so glad we finally got together, ignoring the fact that daylight saving is here. Lovely to talk with you again, Dr. Howard.
All right, let's talk about regenerative power, horses, trucks, railways, and even cars.
Yeah, so cars have got it nowadays to the extent that it's considered commonplace. The history of it in cars is that it was thought that it would be a good idea in the USA before the year 2000, and huge amounts of money was given to the American car manufacturers to try and bring in regenerative braking, what we call hybrid cars, where when you touch the brakes, instead of the energy in the forward motion of the car being turned into heat and wasted, instead it'd be captured by an electric motor and turned into electricity, which could be then used to propel you off from your...
Right.
...said it was impossible, and Toyota made it happen, and they just announced it for sale in the first Prius, then the second one, and the third one, and so it went on. So we're familiar with that sense, that concept of regenerative braking, and by the way, electric vehicles use it all the time to increase their range. So their range is better around town because they're always stopping and starting. So they have a certain mileage they give you, and you say, okay, I'll take 10% off for the town work and 20% for the highway, because you don't do a lot of slowing down. But it turns out that this goes way back to the 1830s, where in different parts around the United Kingdom, when they had a quarry at the top of a hill, what they do is have the horses tow the empty rail carriages up the hill, and then the horses would go into a special carriage just for them to go down along with the load. So that wasn't quite regenerative, but the horses were getting a free ride back. And now it turns out that in addition to cars doing this, there are several railway lines in Australia where we are shifting thousands of tons of iron ore, and from high altitude inland, or higher altitude inland to lower altitude on the coast. And so the train with many hundreds, tens of thousands of tons of coal and or iron ore rolls down this relatively steady gradient using no brakes, but all of the energy of the downhill run is controlled by the electricity going, motors turning and putting electricity into the batteries, and then the train is then run back empty by the energy in the batteries. They don't use any external fuel to go back up to the mining site again. And it's also happening with trucks, and we're talking monster trucks that weigh 400 tons and have wheels that are twice your height. But once again, it depends on having the place where you want to deliver the load downhill, and you want to have a smooth run. And under those circumstances, you get a free run uphill. Oh, my God. Who thought it started with horses back in...
Oh, and now I suddenly can't hear you, Dr. Cole. Are you... Can just speak again?
I'm talking.
There we go. There we go.
The internet is possibly a little bit fuzzy. Here we go.
There we go.
Oh, my gosh. If only they put more telephone towers, we'd have better internet everywhere we go. My bad for being on the road at this time. Good morning, Dr. Howard.
No stress. Let's talk about disinformation starting in 1835.
That's right. So in South Africa, there was an astronomer called Herschel who was building an observatory. And so in New York, a newspaper called The Sun was in need of some extra circulation. It's what you'd call a kind of a gutter journal. Not necessarily always accurate, but always sensational. And blow me down, the reporter thought, this is fun. I think I'll just make some stuff up, because there were these Christian evangelists who were claiming that they'd been in contact via God with life forms on other planets like Mars and Venus. And he thought, that's what he said later, that he was going to send them up. So he claimed that Herschel in South Africa had published the results. So firstly, he was hard to get hold of because he was in another part of the world. had published results in a journal called the Edinburgh Science Journal, which didn't exist anymore. It had gone out of print, and had seen bat people on the moon with their amazing new 8-mirror telescopes, all made up. And these bat people looked like you and me, but they just sort of had leathery wings. And it went through six different news reports saying how amazing these bat people were. And eventually, the Sun newspaper did print a minor retraction saying, oh, we made it all up, it was lies. It was on like page 59 upside down,
right,
in black,
exactly,
on a black background or something like that.
Incredible. You know what's so fascinating is I like to do research into misinformation, disinformation, and how quickly these things spread. I've never come across this. I'm definitely going to be doing some more research on it because it is absolutely fascinating. This.
Yeah, and disinformation or scary stuff spreads six times faster because it might save your life. So think about the concept of the word news, N-E-W-S.
Mm-hmm.
Three of those four letters mean new. And so if you've got something that's new, well, then you'll report it and you'll pay attention to it. And so many good things happen slowly, like we've built a new school. Well, that's not really news,
but
a school fell down, that happens suddenly overnight. And with disinformation, it spreads six times faster because we have a need for it. Because if somebody says, hey, look out over there, Dr. Howard, there's a lion, even though there's not a lion, you pay attention, because if there is a lion...
We are going to leave it there. Dr. Carl, thank you as always. Absolutely fascinating conversation. And we'll catch Dr. Carl again next week at this time.